You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Along with J-Mac, I'm Doug Gottlieb. In for Dan and the Danettes. Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio, the iHeartRadio app. And we thank you for listening if you're on satellite radio as well, the Dan Patrick Channel. Jason, I want to get to the Clippers losing to the Mavericks last night and to the Lakers, who get another shot at the Trailblazers. As do the Bucks, another shot at the Magic tonight. We'll talk some NBA playoffs, which are upon us. We've got some NFL stuff. Rick Bucher is going to join us in 15 minutes. But I do want to talk about kind of a story of last night. Okay. In the So Tom Brenneman, who's a longtime, his dad Marty just retired last year, right, as the radio voice of the Cincinnati Reds. And Tom has been the TV voice in the local Fox Sports, I think, Ohio, of the Cincinnati Reds. Of course, he's also a colleague at Fox TV. I've called a college basketball game with him. He had a hot mic incident in which he said a homophobic slur, right? And it got picked up because, you know, when you're on the bird, somebody's always listening. And during the fifth inning with the Reds up, he must have been told, like, hey, we're going to have you at the end of this inning, like, be suspended and, you know, take a break. I mean, I don't know if I don't think he was fired at that moment, nor has he been fired yet, just been suspended. But it led to one of the most bizarre apology circumstances ever. Take a listen.
Out of my heart, I'm so very, very sorry. I pride myself and think of myself as a man of faith. As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run. And so that'll make it a 4-0 ball game. I don't know if I'm going to be putting on this headset again. I don't know if it's going to be for the Reds. I don't know if it's going to be for my bosses at Fox. I want to apologize for the people who signed my paycheck, for the Reds, for Fox Sports Ohio, for the people I work with, for anybody that I've offended here tonight. I can't begin to tell you how deeply sorry I am. That is not who I am, and never has been. And I'd like to think maybe I could have some people that could back that up.
Yeah, listen, I
am very, very sorry, and I beg for your forgiveness. Jim Dale, take you the rest of the way home.
Right, that was it. Okay, so there's a bunch to dig into. By the way, if you really listen, if you want to be a jerk, and I've seen this from some people I like, well, he didn't actually apologize. Actually, he did. He apologized not just for himself, but also for the when he said for the people who signed my paycheck, he knows he represents all of those people, and what he said resonates for all in representing them. And so he apologized not to them, but for them, for anybody who's offended by what he says, whatever. And he did the I'm sorry. If you don't believe it, then you just don't want to ever believe anybody saying you're sorry, right? And again, I haven't worked with Tom a ton. I worked with him once. He was great. I can't swear to any human being's character other than my own interactions with him, and he seemed incredibly thoughtful to me personally. And what he said was dumb, and, you know, he's going to get punished for it. But the home run call was the okay, so have you ever called a baseball game? Have you ever been around a baseball game in the booth?
I have not.
Okay, so generally in a baseball game, like, you're supposed to have a conversation, and then you leave it to the play, but then all of a sudden there's a pitch, you leave it to the play-by-play guy to describe the action, and then you can hop back into a story. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Right? So it's like we're having a story like, oh, yeah, I had this, you know, during quarantine, we did this, we did that. Oh, what'd you do, Jason? Did you cut your hair? Did you lose weight? This is my routine. And with the 1-0 pitch, right? That's how I don't know. Like, what are you supposed to do? Not mention the home run? And it wasn't like he was like, hey, Castellanos, go the yard! And I'd like to really apologize, right? Like, he just, that's 2020 in a nutshell right there. Right? I was trying to explain Murphy's Law to my son.
Oh,
do you know what Murphy's
one.
Law is?
Yeah.
Like, no, I was like, anything that can go wrong will, right? That's basically 2020, and that was that sequence of events for Tom Brenneman.
Yeah. I'm just going to, that's unfortunate. I don't know what to say. He's a company guy. There's a quote from one of, this guy, Charlie Munger, one of Warren Buffett's, like, right-hand man, and he said, "Whose bread I eat, his song I sing." And I'm a Fox guy, so I'm going to go ahead and punt on going in on Tom Brennan.
No,
Tom.
I mean, what's,
I don't know him. I thought the call was funny. I just, the home run in the middle of an apology.
Okay, so like, what do you,
I laughed out loud. Right? I had not heard that. I laughed out loud.
You hadn't heard that?
I had not. No.
He who lives on Twitter doesn't know that.
Dude, I'm doing way less Twitter, only during the games. During the quarantine, Twitter is just so toxic. Somebody made the analogy where it's like opening a garbage can and seeing rats battling mice for trash scraps. And that's what Twitter's like. So I'm off it a lot outside of promoting my own stuff and during games. It's just
So you're on the gram now?
I love the gram. Yeah. Gram is awesome. Yeah.
All about the gram.
I mean, it's an infinite scroll, you know?
Take a listen one more time to this. Just, again, I'm not laughing at all about what he said or about, I'm like, look, I've said dumb things on TV and been told to apologize for things I didn't necessarily think I needed to apologize for.
You've said dumb things? No, Doug, come on.
I've said a couple dumb things. Not to that level, right? So I do know that, here's the reality of what happens. So I'll give you. So my thing is, remember I said I just here to get the white man's perspective. Okay, this is.
What was I on the set for that or no?
No, this is Charles Barkley and Kenny Smith.
Oh, that was CBS. Yeah.
Kenny Smith and Greg Anthony.
But that was a big moment for you. I remember
it was a big moment, not in the positive way.
Did you get called into a glass office that night or no?
Dude, I'll give you the whole story here because I actually went on with Dan the next day and then they got mad at me again. Like, why are you going on with Dan Patrick? We told you, like, it's over. I was pre-scheduled to go on Dan Patrick the first day of the Sweet 16. So it's our first day of the Sweet 16. And I had not worked with, I knew Charles, I knew Kenny some, but I'd never worked with them before. And the way it worked in my contract and in that year was, I did the Mountain West tournament up until like Friday night, I think, or Saturday night. And then I flew a red eye in and I did this all day selection show Sunday, did the selection show and then flew back to California because I was living out here at the time. And then I flew to Salt Lake and did the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament. That's when Wichita State beat Gonzaga in the second round.
And yes.
So that was my first tournament. So I did it with Spiro Ditas. So I'm in Salt Lake. Meanwhile, they're doing TV together that entire week previously. So I fly back into New York on probably Tuesday. You know, like you get like a, I was done like on a Saturday or I think I was done on Sunday. You get home that night. You get like a day to do radio. And I had a TV show at the time and a day with the kids. And I think I took a red eye in on Tuesday night. So Wednesday, I work in the city and I'm just exhausted. And I'm about ready to collapse. And instead, we go out to dinner. I went to dinner with Greg Anthony and I think Seth Davis. And then Thursday, I'm getting ready to do my radio show. And I'm in the basement of the CBS building, the broadcast center, where there's radio studios. But I didn't have any interaction with those guys because the Turner guys, they don't like meetings. They don't do any pre-show meeting.
I'm shocked.
They don't. No, they just want it all organic.
Yeah.
So I was actually on a different show that followed mine on radio for like the first segment. And I hit him with my line, which I thought would be funny, which is like, hey, I'm just here to bring some diversity to the the token white guy diversity to the set. You know, don't mind me or something like that. And they all thought it was they're howling. But it's sports radio. It's not CBS TV.
Yeah.
Right. So I kind of choked on the line and I was like, yo, man, I'm just here to give. It was like one of those you go around the room. Greg Gumbel, like, oh, are you excited about tonight? And everybody goes, I'm excited. Can't wait. I'm excited. And I just kind of butt in with this stupid line, which I thought would be funny as an icebreaker, which somebody who I worked for at CBS had said when I first signed, like, hey, dude, look at the set. You're actually going to bring diversity to the set. Did you ever think that was possible? Right. It was just kind of funny. And so that's what I meant. I just meant I meant nothing by it. Right. Just trying to break the ice or whatever. And, you know, Charles is like three seats away. He claims, yeah, I didn't even hear what you said. Right? Kenny's just got, you know, Kenny's worried about who he's going to say. And Greg Anthony, I don't think he liked me very much anyway. So no one laughed or chuckled. No one laughed or chuckled.
Kind of fell flat.
fell totally flat.
Of course, the internet is going
to
go.
Oh, well, Mark May said, you know, I'm like, I need to be fired.
Mark May?
Yeah.
Former offensive lineman?
Yeah. Well, at the time, he was at ESPN, remember?
Yeah.
Like, I need to be fired. It was racist. Like, it wasn't racist. I'm making fun of myself.
It's funny how people want to blow stuff. Like, that was funny. It got us, if I remember,
I had a lot of friends that were like, that was hilarious. Okay.
It got some clicks for us on the big lead at the
time. Okay, so here's what really happens, okay? So I somehow got through that segment. And, like, at the time, I knew it was like, uh-oh, that was not good, right? And then there's, like, some awkwardness within the segment. Because, like, we hadn't worked together before, all these guys. But I take a ton of pride in, like, if you cut away that portion of the segment, you'd be like, oh yeah, he was fine. He knew, you know, it was good. I didn't let that sinking feeling you have inside you kind of affect me that much. So we go to break, and all of a sudden, I'll leave his name out of it. A gentleman who was very much responsible for me joining CBS is right next to me. He goes, "What the F are you doing?" And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, did you think that was a good idea? I go, I don't know. I maybe didn't think enough about it. Like, is it bad? He goes, it's not good. So throughout the night, you know, Twitter's just crushing me. He's like, it's on CBS. It's the first time no one knows who you are on CBS. We're introducing you to the world. And that's how you introduce yourself. I was like, yeah, kind of, you know, like I thought it was like, all right, so we move on. You know, and they said, hey, listen, we want to write up an apology. We want you to apologize. I was like, what am I apologizing for? A joke that wasn't funny, but it wasn't offensive? Like, well, you know, you could take it in a way like, okay, fine. So I know, at least on some level, what it's like to feel like your world is crashing down and you're like, I don't know if I'm going to have a job tomorrow. And for Tom Brenneman, like, he legitimately probably doesn't have a job, right? So
this was what, like 5-6 years ago. He's now like 56 year old.
It doesn't matter, dude. Like, you just never.
Listen, Greg Anthony's been through his own stuff.
No,
I
question.
Mean, we know what happened with him a few years ago. You can Google
that.
Next,
that was the next year. Right?
Was it?
Yeah, it was the next year.
Wow. He's back doing games and stuff. Yeah. Like, if you're young, you can rebound.
So here's Tom Brenneman last night apologizing for something he said when he had a hot mic before the game.
Out of my heart, I'm so very, very sorry. I pride myself and think of myself as a man of faith. As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run. And so that'll make it a 4-0 ball game.
He got the score, too!
This headset again. I don't know if it's going to be for the Reds. I don't know if it's going to be for my bosses at Fox. I want to apologize for the people who signed my paycheck, for the Reds, for Fox Sports Ohio, for the people I work with. For anybody that I've offended here tonight, I can't begin to tell you how deeply sorry I am.
And that's like the legit apology. But, like, he did get the home run and he got the score. That's a professional broadcaster right there. All right, we'll get into the growing debate. Luka or and just so you know, I'm not laughing at what he said. It's not, you know, saying words like that are not funny. They do leave an indelible imprint, and you do, like, it's not just about the fact he had a hot mic. It's the fact that that word's still part of his vernacular. And it should not. That form of the F word, the R word, which people used to use when I was a kid, right? Like, people have used it. You got to, it's highly, highly offensive. And sometimes you learn the hard way if you didn't already know it.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
What do you get when you cross a Mercedes sedan, coupe, or SUV with a race car? You get Mercedes-AMG. What Mercedes-AMG is all about. There's really no other way to say OMG-AMG. Visit mbusa.com/AMG, Mercedes-AMG, driving performance. Inside the Mercedes-Benz Man Cave, I give you Jason McIntyre. I'm Doug Gottlieb. So, look, we're getting ready for tonight's Laker-Portland game. Trailblazers won the first game, 193. Lakers were abysmal shooting the basketball. Damian Lillard, Carmelo Anthony, and CJ McCollum made shots late, and the Portland Trailblazers end up getting a win. The Clippers lose to the Dallas Mavericks last night, and the Bucks lost their first game to the Orlando Magic. They have Orlando again kind of later today. If I was going to ask you, Jason, which team you're most concerned with, who would it be?
A slight lean, Doug, to the Clippers over the Lakers, simply because I feel, other than the first quarter of game one, that the Mavs have outplayed the Clippers. And with Porzingis on the floor, they've outscored them by 16. Dallas is a real problem here. I thought, you know, okay, playoff Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, their defensive abilities on the wing. They built this team to be switchable on the wing. And lo and behold, they can't stay in front of Luka Doncic. He's creating. I mean, Luka's making Tim Hardaway, Seth Curry, these guys look like legit stars. I mean, there's no depth on this team. Remember, Jalen Brunson, their great backup point guard who's filled in admirably when Luka's been hurt. He's out. Dwight Powell.
Yeah, but they're better without Burke has been. Trey Burke has been outstanding.
Trey Burke has been another guy who's been outstanding. Remember Trey Burke at Michigan, how awesome he was in that NCAA tournament? Mm-hmm. He was phenomenal. I thought he'd be a real good pro. He never has done well anywhere. And here he is with Luka looking good. Basically, Luka makes everyone better. And we just don't see a lot of players on that level in the NBA. Obviously, Magic Johnson made everyone look better. Although you could argue, hey, man, he was gifted Hall of Famers in Worthy and Jabbar. But LeBron James has made everyone better around him. Luka does that. I don't know that Giannis really does that. Kawhi Leonard, I don't think, does that. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just they're a different type of player. But if you're the Clippers, I think you're a little bit nervous right now when you look at their lack of chemistry, the Patrick Beverley injury. Montrezl Harrell looks lost, completely lost on the court because he hasn't played. And, you know, obviously the Lakers have their concerns with the starting backcourt and the ability to knock down, you know, open jumpers. I mean, hell, I think I could catch and shoot a couple of open threes in Portland Lakers tonight if I was to suit up for L.A. Of course, then you go to a Laker game, Doug, as I know you do, and you watch warmups and Danny Green and KCP, they don't miss shots ever. But in the game, they were horrible in game one. I think Lakers bounce back big tonight, big lead. In honor of, you know.
Let me ask Rick Bucher, Fox Sports 1 and Bleacher Report. Buke, Bucks, Lakers, Clippers, they've all dropped one so far in the bubble. Who, if you were to cut open your brain and say, give me all honesty, who you're most concerned about, who would it be?
It would still be the Lakers. Look, the Clippers and the energy and the lack of energy that they played with, I'm astonished that they're still sleepwalking a little bit. I've seen them play much better defense than they did against Dallas. I think if the Clippers play their best, you know, as good as Doncic is, as much improved as Porzingis is, the Clippers simply have too much. But I'm beginning to question. Do they have the leadership to bring that team together since we're working on a shorter timeline? But no, the Lakers and what LeBron has to do in order for that team to beat the Blazers is just, it's a lot. There's a lot on his shoulders and there are unknowns. You're asking Anthony Davis to be a factor in the playoffs, which with the right matchups, he has been, with the wrong matchups, he has not been. And I just have way more questions about the Lakers and whether they can recapture what they were during the regular season than the Clippers or the Bucks.
Rick, when you look at this Clippers issue of leadership, you know, you know, I look at that huddle and I'm like, all right, they're the chips are, everything's falling away from them. They're struggling. They've been outplayed in almost every quarter against the Mavs. Who speaks up in that locker room as the leader? We know it's not Paul George. He followed Kawhi to the Clippers. He hasn't gotten out of the first round in 6 years. Can it be Patrick Beverley, a role player? Lou Williams is a veteran, and this guy's going to a strip club when he leaves the bubble. And Kawhi's not a talker. So who is that guy who's pounding the table? We know it's LeBron for the Lakers. Who is it for the Clippers?
No, that's a great question. And I honestly, I don't know. I don't know who's going to speak up and get it done. And we're going to find out whether it's Pat Bev, whether it's, you know, it's hard to see that it's a Montrezl Harrell. Those guys have the personality to speak up, but I don't know if they have the status within that team. And that is, you know, I would think that, while we don't think of Kawhi as a talker, in circumstances like that, it would be Kawhi who would have to who would have to speak and pull guys together. That's why I raised the question, because we're at the point now where somebody needs to gather them, and we'll see who that is.
Rick Bucher joining us, Fox Sports 1, and of course Bleacher Report, long time covering the NBA. Sound a little groggy there, like a little bubble wine hangover. What's going on?
No, just little froggy. As you know, we have California fires everywhere, and we're seeing some of it in our area. So our quality of air is not great right now.
Okay, welcome to Southern California. As you Northern Californians think, you guys always have it better. We send our regards to everybody who's fighting those fires out there. I mean, that stuff is terrible. Rick Bucher joining us. Okay, Buke, there's LeBron said there's some sort of something intricate in terms of what's off with their team chemistry. Okay, so what's the deal there? Is it? I mean, I know they're pissed at Avery Bradley. They can never say so because somebody says family, and you're like, all right, whatever. But want to win a championship. I know they're mad there, but that couldn't be. It's got to be something. What else is it that makes this thing not feel as wholesome as it maybe it should be?
Well, look, there are guys that you would expect to step up and be bigger factors than they are. And they're also not going to call out Anthony Davis and playing a bigger role. But the fact of the matter is, he's the second most talented player on that team. And he's not stepping up, I think, the way that LeBron expected him to. And I'm going to date myself here, but I think of and this is going back a ways, but this just instantly came to mind. Elton Brand was very similar in that he was not a leader. He was a talented player, but he was not a leader. But when he got together with Sam Cassell, he had his greatest success. I'd say Carmelo Anthony with Chauncey Billups and now with Damian Lillard. Like, certain guys may not be the fire starter, but once you start the fire, they will join in and they'll start throwing wood on it. And we are not seeing that from Anthony Davis. Now, I don't know if that's what LeBron is talking about, but that's what I see as a crisis in confidence with this team, which is this guy's really talented. He's had a big year in AD. And now we're at the most crucial time of the year. And I don't care what the numbers say. He is playing in a really passive way at a time where they need him to step up and be aggressive.
I wonder, Rick, if LeBron can be like, yo, we brought you here because you're a primetime player. We don't, I mean, at some point, the Lakers have to get sick of this fading away on everything, this whole, I don't want to play center. I mean, it's the playoffs. Anthony Davis was 2-for-15 outside of the restricted area in game one. I mean, Rick, that's just absolutely not going to cut it. I mean, I'm on board saying this is one of these pound the table days for LeBron where he says, guys, I don't fall behind 0-2. There's no room for error here. You know, everybody's on a short leash. You know, we're going to see Deion Waiters here. We may see J.R. Smith. Alex Caruso pulling himself out of the game with 5 minutes left. This stuff is inexcusable. And I got to figure LeBron shows up tonight and the Lakers win. Would you agree?
I would think so, but this has always been mystifying to me. I would have thought that LeBron James would have grabbed the game by the throat in the final minute or two in game one and brought it home. And we're coming down and we're just running plays and we're not taking threes, which was essential. And we're getting switches and he's got Damian Lillard on him. And
what is he doing?
You wanted.
What is it?
Exactly.
What is he doing? Listen, I understand the passing and getting everybody else involved most of the game. Okay. And this has been the thing with LeBron for the entirety of his career. And at times in Cleveland, just out of necessity, he was, you know, especially late in his run in Cleveland, he's like, F it. I'll just do it myself. Right. But like you point out, they come out of a timeout. They're down five. And they run simple ball screen because the idea is Damian Lillard doesn't play defense. He's too small for LeBron James. They get a switch, and he passes it to Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who drives in and shoots a runner, a layup that doesn't hit rim. Yeah. Right? Like, that's on LeBron. Like LeBron drives in there and he's at the rim and he kicks out to Alex Caruso, who can't shoot. And he's right at the rim. Go finish, get fouled, make a free throw or two, you know, get an and one. Like it was almost reverting to passive LeBron. And that was still a very winnable game. That's the thing. That game still should have, could have been won had he taken over, despite the fact his teammates let him down shooting the basketball.
Yeah, well, and you know, in both cases, with AD and with LeBron, and Jason, I don't know if I can blame you for this, but I'd like to, but I don't know if I can, is that people have anointed them as being certain things when they have not proven that. Like, everybody talks about AD. I still hear it right as of right now. They're talking about him being one of the top five players in the league. You can be a top five talent and not be a top five player. A top five player utilizes his talent. A top five playing in the clutch, delivering in the clutch, is, in my mind, part of what makes you top five. I don't care about talent. There's a ton of talented players that have come and gone. And AD has a wealth of talent. But he hasn't applied it to its fullest extent in a lot of circumstances. And LeBron, being an I always hear, like, his intelligence, his IQ, it's all this. And I'm like, if it doesn't apply, if you don't apply it in game situations, The making the right basketball play because you're swinging it to somebody who's open for a second. I'm not asking Alex Caruso to win me the game. I'm not asking Kyle Kuzma to win me the game. I'm not asking Kyle Korver, as good of a shooter as he is, to hit a shot in the finals that's going to be semi-contested when you, LeBron, are 6 feet from the basket. That's not a good basketball play in NBA terms, and yet there are a ton of people out there who will defend the decisions made by both of those players, and that's what I blame, because I really believe that when people turn the heat up on LeBron going all the way back to Cleveland, the first iteration in Cleveland, when they turned the heat up and said, oh, but he's not a championship player, that's what forced him to go to Miami and learn how to be a championship player. And I feel as if collectively we don't do enough of that. And as a result, some of our biggest talents don't maximize who they are because we find ways to look at, and I'm hearing it with other players now on other teams, Joel Embiid, you know, he doesn't have a point guard who can get him the ball in the right situations. And I'm like, the dude's not in shape. He's a monster in the first quarter. Why is he a monster in the fourth quarter? It's not because he's not getting the ball. It's because he's too tired to get position, and he's not asking for the ball because he's fatigued.
Yeah, I don't want to act like I'm killing the Lakers here. They did lead by six a couple times in the fourth. We're talking about a tie game with like 3 minutes left. And like, listen, Anthony Davis, Rick, last time he had a playoff series, I think he swept Portland and Damian Lillard. Like, it was an impressive showing.
See, here we go. Rajon Rondo and Drew Holiday were the fire starters and the leader in that. And Anthony Davis had a matchup with Jusuf Nurkic that he fully exploited. But the numbers, look, this is how Tony Parker ends up being a Finals MVP in 2007 over Tim Duncan, because he was matched up with Boobie Gibson and he put up huge numbers. Tim Duncan is and always will be the MVP of any game that he and Tony Parker played in. There wasn't a game where Tim Duncan wasn't the guy that you game plan for and didn't have the bigger influence. But because people looked at numbers and said, oh, wow, Tony Parker, boy, he lit it up, he ended up being Finals MVP.
Certainly Mirotić was very good in that series. He averaged like 18 a game, 46% on threes. But like, I'm not killing Anthony Davis. I just thought
we all saw the exact same thing. Let me get to the Bucks, because I think one of the guys you're alluding to in terms of us making kind of excuses for is Giannis.
Yep.
And I just don't think he can shoot, and I don't think you can win it all if your best player can't shoot. And he's the part of me likes the fact that he's going to keep taking him because at some point you got to guard him. But part of me is like, you almost like you're taking shot. It's the inopportune threes when you don't need to. And, you know, there's just a difference in regular season and postseason basketball. Although the officiating hasn't been as lax as it usually is, it'll probably get more and more physical. I'm just wondering what your thoughts are now that we've seen the Bucks lose a game.
I feel as if, I mean, everybody's put this emphasis that Giannis has to develop a three. And if he develops a three, watch out. It's over. And I'm thinking, I've got enough three-point shooters on that Milwaukee team. What I need him to develop is ability to score in the mid-range from the free throw line down.
Right.
So that
we skip that, Rick. We skip that in our, you know, they want everybody to be the Brook Lopez, which you go from a back to the basket player to being a three-point shooter.
Yeah. Well, but it's for me the function of Giannis as the best player on that team and the go-to and the playmaker. Is I need him a step away from the rim, and if you're going to trap me or you're not going to let me get to the rim, you're going to put that much emphasis on me, I'm just going to raise up, I'm going to hit that mid-range. Or if you're going to crowd me like that, then I've got somebody wide open on the perimeter who can hit a three and who's been hitting his three their entire career.
Right.
Giannis, you know, putting him out at the three-point line and the emphasis on that, is honestly, it seems insane to me. Like, he's so dangerous near the basket. Like, why would we do that? Or why would we put an emphasis, or why would we think that if he can shoot a three, now suddenly that's the answer for what's going to make the Milwaukee Bucks unbeatable? To me, it's playing in that pinch post, in that mid post, and drawing attention there. And that's going to allow him to either be lethal as a scorer, or it's going to open everybody else up. And again, this is where the conversation about what teams have to do and, as a result, what excuses we make for guys who aren't getting it done just seems so cockeyed to me at times.
Luka or Giannis, you're starting an NBA team right now. Who do you want?
As of right now, I'd have to go Doncic.
Yeah. 3-0, clean sweep, Doug.
It's not just that. His skill set will last longer and I think have a bigger impact.
If we would have asked this pre-bubble, Rick, I wonder if it would have been 3-0 Giannis.
Oh, well.
MVP and Defensive Player of the Year.
Oh, well, you know what? But I don't care. The whole MVP thing, I just.
This to me, Buke, I'm going to help you out here. I actually think, and look, I don't think neither of us have anything bad to say about the place we used to work, but I think the MVP discussion becoming such a big part of everything is merely a creation of ESPN to generate some sort of interest in regular season games that most people aren't actually interested in. I truly believe that. Like I've done this for a long time. It's only the last 5 or 6 years that people really, really seem to care about the MVP. It's never necessarily been the best player in the league. It's been, you know, who wins the championship, you know, and how do they play against the other great players? Last thing, LeBron, there's some that are making explanation or excuses. Hey, it's so different without fans. Joe Varden, who covered him in Cleveland's like, LeBron's really affected by not having fans. My point is, okay, but so is everybody else.
Yeah.
What are you, now that we've seen playoff bubble basketball, how is it different?
Well, look, I think role players, you know, the depth of your team, is and the internal enthusiasm of your team, those things matter in a much greater way. But we're seeing a lot of guys that normally playing in hostile environment, playing under the pressure of the playoffs in big games, you either wouldn't look to them or they wouldn't play the same way. They wouldn't play as freely as they have. And I think that's one of the things where you see where. Like Gary Trent Jr., okay, he's got the personality, but it's also like that entire team is okay with him taking a three with the game on the line. I don't know if that would be the same feeling if we were playing in Staples Center for either one. So I think we see more of that. Again, LeBron's explanation that the bubble is what's screwing over the Lakers. You're playing against a Portland team whose home court advantage, whose the crowd and the atmosphere up there is better than Staples Center.
Right.
So we had 8 teams lose their first game, and there was only one that talked about the bubble, and it's the team that supposedly has 2 of the top 5 players in the league, and both of those players talked about the bubble, that they can't play. They can't play without fans.
Right.
I mean, what is? You're asking me to explain something that hurts my head. I can't explain it. Like what is? I mean, we could get into the psychology of LeBron and AD and everything else, but to me, they're excuses, and they're not very good ones.
Awesome stuff, Buke. Enjoy the hoops. It'll be on all day. We'll discuss it, and we'll read your work in Bleacher Report. See you on Fox Sports 1. Thanks for joining us.
Sounds good.
The one and only Rick Buka.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Doug Gottlieb and Jason McIntyre here in studio. Rick Buker is brought to you by Mercedes-AMG. Prepare yourself for whatever comes your way in the all-new GT four-door coupe, because life is a race. Visit your local dealership for a test drive today. And if you missed any of our celebrity interviews or from the week from the Mercedes-Benz AMG Man Cave, just go to the Dan Patrick app, where you can watch and listen inside the Mercedes-AMG Man Cave, Mercedes-AMG driving performance. All right, tonight, Jason, or today, we have games.
Yeah, it's
you want to bet all of every penny of what you have rightfully earned?
No.
On the LA Lakers tonight in 6.5 points.
You never go all in on anything, and on that level. But I to go back to what Rick Buker was talking about, and you know, he's saying it's not about the numbers; it's about player impact. It's about both, obviously. Like, it's never just about one thing. Numbers are important, right? LeBron had a phenomenal statistical game. His impact otherwise was maybe not as big as the stats. But then you look at Anthony Davis, and he ended up with 28 points, but it was like hollow, you know? 2 for 15 outside the restricted area. Bad shot selection. Missed free throws. So, yeah, it isn't all about the numbers, but it's certainly not all about the impact. And that's why tonight I'm going with LeBron mostly for impact. I think as a leader in the locker room, a leader in the league, you know, people are going to listen when LeBron speaks up. And that's my issue with the Clippers. I don't know that they have that. I like Lakers. I like the Heat. Oladipo, it appears he's going to be a go today. He injured his knee 9 minutes in. They just don't have enough offense. I like this Heat team a lot. I think they're a legit threat to the Bucks. What are the other two games? Bucks-Magic. Bucks are not losing today. But I'm not betting them 13. Like, come on. That's nearly
13-point favorites?
Yeah, it's dumb.
That's a lot of points.
Yeah, and then the other game is...
That's a lot of points.
Oh, Rockets-Thunder.
Now, the Rockets controlled that entire game. And one of the things that I thought the Thunder ran into that the Lakers ran into is, you know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is just a kid. And guys are tight, right? I thought several of the Lakers, the shots they missed in the first half, they were clearly tight.
Yeah.
That it can look like the same court, it can be the same opponent, there's no fans, whatever.
See, but I get
but it
this
matters more.
From KCP. I don't think he's played a high-level playoff game ever. He was with the Pistons for,
No, KCP has been a good player
but
on bad
Danny
teams.
Danny Green is a major veteran who's had a lot of postseason success.
Yeah, but he was bad
the Spurs.
In the playoffs last year, shooting. He's just...
I think it's a couple years. Yeah, last year with the Raptors, yeah.
Last year he was great in the regular season, shooting. Didn't play as well as they would have liked, but could make a shot in the postseason, and he just looks washed. Just what happens when you.
Well, listen, the other guys they got are Deion Waiters, who was suspended at one point this season for I think taking
too many gummies.
Gummies yeah. On a plane, and he freaked out. And then you got J.R. Smith, who you don't want to believe in.
I don't want to believe in. I'm telling
you.
I'm telling
you, Quinn Cook.
Quinn Cook can't play in this game.
Okay, so who are we trotting out at guard for the Lakers?
I think you'll give Deion Waiters a little bit more run, but I think generally this is who you are. This is who you are. You just got to win with it. You did a good enough job defensively. You held them to 100 points.
If it's close down the stretch, I go AD at the 5, Morris at the 4, Kuzma 3, LeBron 2, and then I go one shooter. I don't know who that is. And you put, you know, Kuzma's going to get lit up by C.J. McCollum, but so be it, you know? It's not like Caruso or Danny Green. Yeah, so Danny Green, KCP, they're getting torched anyway. So I put Kuzma into the offense.
I mean...
Listen, Caruso played good defense. We agree.
Yes.
They just made shots. So I would rather have the offensive guy in if they're going to make shots anyway.
See, I think the construct of this team is that they can fall back on their defense. And that if LeBron and AD make enough shots, then they'll win. And I think that's what they'll go back to tonight. I really do. Will they give Waiters a little bit more run? Sure.
Oh, but who's your fifth guy? Who are the closing five? I don't think it can be Dwight Howard or JaVale, who starts.
But Dwight Howard and JaVale weren't at the end of the game. They never
Dwight Howard in for some major pivotal moments in the fourth quarter, which I'm disappointed because that allows
not
Whiteside.
Not the start of the fourth quarter?
Not the start. It was like the middle where it was kind of, you know, it was tied.
No. I don't know. Look, I think the Bucks win, although 13 is a ton of points.
Yeah.
I think Oklahoma City bounces back and wins. They didn't play well at all. And Houston played very good basketball.
Did you see the Harden number? His over-under tonight is 38 points. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Bad boy.
He's unstoppable. I mean, I don't know who to guard him.
Steven Adams should have 30 or 40.
I think Gallo's the guy they like. I bet the Gallo over the other night easily hit third quarter. Gallinari is a bad mismatch for the Rockets.
Lakers win tonight. Win fairly handily. Although, you know, like, look. The Trailblazers have that. They're the annoying guy that when you shoot for teams at the park, they're always in the game because they always make shots. They have a bunch of shot makers, and that was enough in game one, even though they only scored 100 points.
How bad would the NBA be if the Lakers got knocked out in the first round?
Would not be to Adam Silver's liking. For Jason McIntyre, I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is The Dan Patrick Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of The Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.